Well, I don't know. I guess you need some volume here, and I may need some help. I just want to comment while I'm thinking about it on the specials that special music we've had today. I appreciate it very much. And I was thinking about the hymns that we've all become acquainted with. And I don't know whether it's happened to you, but it's happened to me several times that I'll be working through the years. Of course, I've been acquainted with these hymns all my life, many of them, because they were taught to me when I was a child. And I will hear it tune in my mind, you know, here it goes. And I'll be working along, and it just keeps persisting. And then I stop and think, well, what's the words to that, you know? And I think of the words, and it's like a message brought to me, you know. The Lord is talking to me through the hymn. And I think of that, you know, these beautiful hymns that have been given to us. And I play arrangements from time to time just for my own entertainment, because I'm not a very good pianist when it comes to playing for somebody else other than accompanying somebody. But that's been part of my joy in life, is music. And like I said, the hymns never grow old. They're just something that's a part of a person. Well, I hope you're ready to stay here for a while. My brother said that I had my work cut out for me, so if whatever that means, I can try and interpret that to mean just about anything. And so if I'm going to comment on everything he said, you're going to hear it all over again. No, I really wouldn't do that. But there are probably things that will come to mind, and there were a number of things came to mind when our brother spoke to us this morning. And so I'm going to take care of what I need to do here. For our brother Donald, I want to say amen, brother. And to our brother Albert, amen, brother. And so that's my endorsement of their sermons. But I don't mean to make light of them, because I believe the Lord inspired them to say the things that they said. And I relate to what they've said. My concern has been right along with them in the many things. Brother Donald was talking about the fact that this church is not, it's kind of duplicated. I mean, there's other churches like us. And I was thinking of that the other day. You know, the Book of Mormon tells us that the churches would be built up to get gain. And that's generally true. And I got to thinking about it. Well, that's not this church. You know, you go there at the temple lot. The only building that we own as a church, as a general church, is the Temple Lot Church. Do you see stained glass and ornate carvings and so forth, and you know, the outlandish or out, I don't mean outlandish, but the expensive things, they're not there. Just the bare necessity. There's not even a steeple on that church, or on any of our churches, I guess. Maybe one or two here and there, maybe have one, but that's the most that we would have, and that's indicative of a humble people. And I would say contrasts of many of the churches that exist that are more popular. And of course, today Christianity has a bad rap. There's all kinds of things said about the Christians, and it don't help any when people, certain evangelists and whatever, make become in the news, like we've just heard recently, about using the monies of the church in wrong ways and for personal use. But it is true that there are other churches that are very much like us. We're not totally unique and different. There may be some basic differences as far as organization is concerned, but there are many humble little churches around, and so we have to live up to what our claim is, and it's rather difficult to do. And I've had this thought. In fact, it was something I mentioned recently, the devil has a way to disguise or to camouflage the truth, cover it up. And I think what you call true Christianity has been just kind of covered up. It's like a mist. It's disguised. And even at our very best, sometimes our light cannot shine as effectively as if we were the one and only Church of Christ. You know, that one and only perfect little church that we're supposed to be. We would be. There's so many churches, and I guess my thought is that this is the problem in a sense, but yet God in his own way will resolve all these things. And what our brother was pointing out about the two churches, save two churches in these last days, there won't be that camouflage. That's the way I see it. When those two churches become distinctly established and there are only two churches, then there won't be a camouflage. We will be standing out. We will be noticed. We will be targets if we are the righteous, if we are the people of God, if we're among them. I mean, that's the way I look at it, speaking for myself. We will be noticed for who we are, and then what's going to happen? Persecution like we've never had. Now, I'm not trying to be a prophet, but this is a conclusion I have on what has been said. And along that line, I would like to refer to a scripture that has come to my mind this week. One that just, I'll just speak the thought that was given to it. It says, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Well, I'm not going to just isolate that scripture. I want to read it entirely, but I'm that thought came to me, and I went and looked it up. And the more I read of it, the more I realized that this was really the kind of thought I had in mind when I thought of the preaching this Sunday. I've been pretty busy the last two Sundays I've preached, and June is being very, very patient with me, listening to me. I feel that there's thousands of sermons to be preached, and I don't think I could ever preach two sermons exactly alike. I mean, I might use the same scriptures, but there's added thoughts that come. But I want to read this in the Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And it speaks, it says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That in itself is a thought that's pertinent to what I'm going to try to speak on, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And so we are to pray off of much to the Lord. The lesson is, use the opportunity that you have to pray and to pour out your hearts to the Lord, and that you might be able to stand in the time that you're living. And it says not to faint. You know, we might become weary. We might give up. You know, I've been there a few times. It's the kind of a bad thing to admit, but sometimes I've been there. And but the widow persisted, and that's what made the difference. That's what we want to remember. She persisted, and so the judge finally gave in. And the Lord is that much more apt to answer our prayer if we persist. And so in the day in which we're living, and we've been warned about so many things concerning this time in which we're living. As a matter of fact, I have I'll relate an incident. Many years back, we had what we call the regional priesthood meetings here in Missouri. And we had one in Independence and sometimes here at Collins or someplace, and two different places, and so that the ministry could get together on a Saturday. And I don't know whether, I know some of you attended them, but this was at the Temple Lot Local one year, and I had made up a list of all and put them in somewhat of an order of prophecies that are unfulfilled, and I just wanted us to have something to study. Well, of course, we didn't get hardly started on them. But I remember when we went down through, you know, some of those different ones, you know, referring to another scripture here and there, and things that I didn't get in there. And our brother's father, Howard Layton Floyd, was there, and I remember him very well versed in the scriptures, and able to give me pointers on these scriptures. And so I kept that for years, where I'd written in the added scriptures that he had given during that time. And so, you know, the subject is so great and almost impossible to put together in a way that I can make a good presentation of it. What our brother spoke of are very important historical events and scriptures that we need to be acquainted with. And I have to admit, there, you know, some of these things I fail to write down. I fail to have them at my fingertips. But I need to, because of the time in which we're living. I should be very knowledgeable of these things. But I want to go to on over here on the 21st chapter and read the words of Christ as he is preparing his disciples for the things that were to come to them. And we find that this is in also this Luke's writings as compared to Matthew 24, which has also the same incident that works. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. But in the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 34 through 36, is one of the very important scriptures, and I know that I've wore this out reading them in sermons, but it's so important to us. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares, that day being the day of the Lord. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. There's two things that he has emphasized: watch and pray. And that's what we are to do. That's for our time. Watch and pray. It might be appropriate for another time, but it most definitely is appropriate for us today. We should be watching. And why? That we might be worthy, counted worthy, to escape those things. You're going to escape those things. He calls it a snare shall come on all them. And I think indeed that there is a snare. But then that day will come upon us if we're not prepared. And we will be unworthy before the Lord. Well, I want to go to the book of James and read a few words here that are especially appropriate to the people to strengthen and encourage us. This is the fifth chapter of James. Verses 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. And he goes ahead and says, if there's any afflicted, let him pray. If there is any sick, call for the elders. And we consider that an ordinance in the church, where we pray over those that are have sicknesses. But the lesson here is that we are patient, and we are to not allow ourselves to grudge one against another. We are, I think it's been already mentioned, the fact that we are apt to become offended one with another, and that's somewhat a human characteristic. If we don't agree with somebody, it's awfully easy to become offended with them. It's awfully easy to expect somebody to be a certain way, and if we don't see them act or do the things we think they should, to become disappointed, and sometime we become judgmental. But the conduct of a Christian is very important, that we are able to give that light and not let that our weaknesses and our faults stand in the way of that light, as our brother showed us. That was a very good example, the way he did this. But in the fullness of, in the more full, in the more important aspect of preparing ourselves for the things that are to come, we must learn I'm trying to get the thoughts to come together here. It is easy to become offended when we when somebody doesn't agree with us, and that's very typical of the way that we, our makeup is. But there is something that is important, as was brought out. We should be able to speak boldly and affirmatively of the gospel of Christ. And we can't hardly do that and be apologetic at the same time. You know, we have to make a decision. Am I going to speak out and say, well, those things are wrong? You know, and conflict risk offending someone. Sometimes we offend unnecessarily, but there's times when it's necessary to stand up for the truth. And so there's a two-edged sword here that we're working in, and we have to make sure that we are we're on the right side. Now, I think the most offensive way a person can be is to take things personally too much. Well, here's the gospel of Christ. I didn't write these books. And so I can preach from them and I can teach them. And sometimes it's pretty hard to read certain things out of the Book of Mormon to a mixed congregation of people, because they don't like what you're saying about their church, things we've been talking about today. They don't like that, and you get people pretty upset. And you know, maybe it's a husband or wife that's a non-member in the congregation, and they're and it's happened in the congregation that I spoke to last Sunday. I didn't do it, but it had been done before. And they mentioned something about the Catholic Church. And this young man that was there, the husband of one of the daughters, was offended because he was Catholic. Now, that's the risk you're going to take. That's the reality of the situation. But you have to stand firm for the truth. And you have to speak the things that are given in the Word of God, but you know, there is a right way to do it, and sometimes you have to be kind of soft-pedal it until you can gain their confidence in what you're saying, that you're not trying to punch them in the face, you know, and put them down or something like that. But you know, there is, we have lacked sometimes the, I don't know what the word is, but the finesse or the ability to work with people without offending them unnecessarily. We sometimes, they're just, you know, sometimes it's just, it doesn't work. Nonetheless, we have to, as you've said, be bold in the truth. And eventually, sometimes that is the convincing or the converting process. And speaking of conversions, convictions, we all have convictions. Now, you can go to probably any church around here, and you'll find people with strong convictions. And you're not going to change them just by saying a few things here and there, but you're going to have, you know, we have to be able to converse. We have to be able to tell our side of the story and what our gospel, what the gospel of Christ is means to us. As I said before, the things that that I have been studying over the years concerning the day in which we're living, our brother brought out a great deal of that, and it's so important to me. But yet, there's not much of a way to get that condensed down to a little sermon. Otherwise, we'd be here all afternoon. But there are things that we are facing that we need to think upon. I would say that I would be greatly disappointed if there is any church that claims to believe in the Holy Bible that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is to return to the earth. I don't know that much about other churches, other Christian churches. But that's an important subject. That's a thing that many of us can share with other peoples. And it's very plain in the plainly written that I really don't think anybody could miss it. And so I would like to go back to Luke again and review some of these things. As a part of preparing ourselves for what is coming. Now, I can't begin to do all read all that much or study all that much about it at this time, but I want us to think about what's going to happen. There are signs that will be given, and I was looking at these signs, and they kind of bother me because they're not really what I thought they would be. Starting with the in Luke 21, starting with the 25th verse, Luke 21:25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You know, I had to stop and look at that several times and think about that. And I've read that and it just almost got it memorized. And yet, I had no vision of what was being said there. In my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen a sign in the sun or in the moon, or for that matter, in the stars. Now, my parents, back way when they were courting, my dad was courting my mother in horse and buggy days. That sounds like a long time ago, and it was. In the early 1900s, they saw Halley's Comet or something like that. They saw, the mom used to tell about how magnificent these things were in the sky as they wrote about. And this went on for two or three nights that they saw these things. And, it was a sign. But that's been almost 100 years ago. Now, what was the sign for? But it goes on, upon the earth distress of nations, well, anyhow, that's going on, for sure, with perplexity. And perplexity is confusion, puzzlement, things that are complicated, things that cause doubt and uncertainty. So that's pretty much a fulfillment. And the sea and the waves roaring. Well, these hurricanes describe that pretty well, if you want to put that together. But here's the continuing on, here's something more to be considered. 26 verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Well, you know, I see that as God being in charge and doing some tremendous thing that has everybody looking and frightened and fearful, such as storms and so forth, such as they had during the time of Christ's crucifixion on this land. I can picture that, but yet it hasn't happened. Men's hearts haven't been failing them for fear. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And he kind of puts that right together. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So in that thought, I'm saying that that's all pretty much future. I have to put them all together. Is these signs have not been given yet. Well, now here's the important part of it. What follows? When we see these signs, what's going to be our reaction? How are we going to react? He says, and I spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He kind of rushes through this whole thing, but he's giving us an understanding that when we see these signs coming, or we recognize them, that we respond. We are to rejoice. We are to lift up our heads. And in that sense, we are not to panic like the world is apt to do. All those around us are apt to panic over this. But you and I have the foreknowledge. Now, we not only have the Bible that tells us, which is pretty plain right here, but we have the Book of Mormon with many prophecies in it. And so we are not without a means to be prepared. Uh, I'm going to go back here to the 24th chapter of Matthew and read a few scriptures from it. I don't know exactly where I'm going to go with this, but if you bear with me, I hope to help us prepare ourselves for what is to take place. If you get my drift here, the first scripture I gave is, will the Lord find faith on the earth? When he comes, will he find faith? Will he find faith in me? Will he have find faith in each of you? That's the question. You know, and that faith is the important thing. And our brother mentioned that also. You know, the question came up to me, is the Book of Mormon scientifically logical? Well, it isn't. It's not logical at all. It's not logical to my mind. Well, neither is the Bible. Neither one of them are logical to me. They don't fit the logic of the natural man. But if they have something that is more than logic, and that is the divine spirit. When it accompanies the word, it leaves an impression that you cannot get anywhere else. I have never read any books equal to the Bible and the Book of Mormon in any library. Never read any book, no commentary, nothing that equals them whatsoever. There is something I cannot describe, even, and I cannot adequately bear witness to, except to say that I know that they're true. That's just about the sum total of it. And knowing it makes me accountable for it. In other words, if I don't live according to it, then I'm in deep trouble real quick. But, well, I struggle with that, but I guess we all do. But there is those wonderful truths that are in the scriptures. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the answer to the disciples who ask, tell us when these things shall be, and what is the sign of thy coming. It says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Use the words deceive twice, once in each script, each sentence there. Have you ever thought about what the day is like compared with other times? We could go back in the days of Nephi, and when they came to this land, and here they were, all one family. Although there was a division pretty quick there, there wasn't a whole bunch of churches built up here like they are now. They did, well, I guess there probably wasn't any church built up. They had and eventually had their synagogues or places of worship. But what I'm trying to point out is that when you have several different religious doctrines going, and you're trying to decide, well, which one is right, like Joseph Smith had, you know, you need some help. And you can be deceived. And that's what the Lord is warning them. Don't be deceived. That was the first thing he said to them about the situation. And of course, he went on to say that as you go on into this, he says that, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, we might think that he was talking about them, particularly in their time, and in a sense, I think he was warning them, because they are they were eventually going to undergo great persecutions, and even their lives were in danger. And so, but the thing that I want to go back and look at here, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now I'm picturing that today. I'm going to jump forward from the time that they're going to experience, and I'm coming to our day. What is wars and rumors of wars? Well, you know, rumors of wars. Rumors are things that you hear, and you're not sure that they're true. You know, somebody comes and, oh, this terrible thing has happened, and so forth, and it's a rumor. It may not be any truth to it at all. But more than likely it is. I mean, most likely if you hear about something that's bad or going to happen or something that... But I've looked up the word rumor to try to see if there was something more that I was missing here. And one definition, just kind of isolated, really showed me something that I never had seen before. It's a, let's see if I can remember the terminology. I can't get the word. It's a demonstration. A rumor can be a demonstration, and I never realized that. It's like somebody pronouncing that they disagree with their government or with somebody doing this or doing that, and they're out here like we see on the news sometimes. They're demonstrating and they have their signs and so forth. And that is actually termed as a rumor. And I never had heard of that before. But that was in the dictionary. So, but that if that's the case, it's not only just something that you hear about, it's something that you might see, like you see on television, or you might be a part of in a demonstration someplace. The Church of Christ has tried to avoid getting the church involved in any kind of political affairs or anti-government things. You know, we try to avoid that because there is no reason to attract attention to us in that way through some kind of demonstration or political actions or something like that. And besides, I think we'd probably all end up fighting each other because we couldn't agree politically. And that wouldn't be good. So, going on with this 24th chapter to the 15th verse, it's in when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And this sounds like something that might have happened back, as we read on, back in their time. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Certainly that happened. Let him which is on the housetop come down to take anything out of his house, neither so forth. And those things undoubtedly happened. That very condition happened in early times. But was it the abomination of desolation? No, not the one that we are going to face. There certainly is yet an abomination of desolation, and when that happens, there will be things, you know, conditions that will leave our land desolate. And that could happen any time. And I don't want to really go into all that. But so as we read these words from the words of Christ here, as he talked to his disciples, we find that it can both apply to back then and to our day in some of them, but some definitely nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so I definitely apply that to our day. I feel that is the thing that we are subject to experience. So the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is simply this, that we are living in the day of deception. There is deception on every hand. And we need to prepare ourselves maintain. I don't want to say prepare entirely. Maintain a spiritual condition whereby we might discern between that which is true and that which is not true, between that which will save us in these last days. I don't know that I have much more to say on that subject, but going on over to the 45th verse, and this we want. I'm trying to concentrate on preparing myself and becoming more spiritually minded, and in saying that I'm saying that this is what we all need to do, to become more spiritually minded so that we are not deceived. But going on with the 45th verse, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we go back to the scripture that in Luke 21, and read. I want to read that verse, 21:36. Read that again. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Now, the most important part of that is this, and to stand before the Son of Man. See, there's going to be a consequence to our readiness. If we're not ready, it's bad news. It's not going to be good. And you know, and we should pray with all our strength that our families will be prepared. I mean, it hurts. It hurts if you have loved ones that are just not paying any attention. And I can feel for my brother what he was telling about. It's his family. We love our children, and we love our brothers and sisters. And sometimes, you feel like, I ought to be able to do something to get their attention. Well, sometimes getting their attention just turns them off. So, but I'll relate something that I've said this to some of you, maybe most all of you heard me say it. But right down the street here, where my parents live, little house, I can close my eyes and I see my mother sitting one corner of the room, and I'm sitting over here on the couch or someplace, and she's talking to me. I can't quote her, but she's warning me, and I could feel the energy of her soul. It didn't change me immediately, but over the years I realized that her prayers touched my life and changed me. And then about a couple of months after she passed away, I had a dream. And when I recalled that dream, I didn't recall it when I first woke up, but I'd went to work and I was working by myself, thank goodness. But I knew it was Mom who was in that dream. She was talking to me. I don't remember too much about what was said, but it was communication without words. And something I wanted to tell her that I'd never said to her. We were not did not demonstrate our feelings very well in our family. And I told her that I loved her. She passed away, and never told her that I loved her. But I told her, and she just, I can't describe the joy that was shown in her countenance. And actually, I can't remember what she looked like, but I knew it was her. I've just absolutely felt her presence. And that has always stayed with me. And I think, from generation to generation, we have these feelings, our love for our children, our love for one another, and how important it is that we are able to convey that love. My mother never had to tell me she loved me, because I knew she did. But that didn't change it. I mean, we could have said it. It just wasn't done in that generation. But I can, certain pictures in my mind, are there permanently, and I hope they will stay there forever. And so I have tried various ways to preach concerning the things that are to come. And when you list them all together and sit down and read them and study them, it's just overpowering how terrible they can be. The kind of destruction, as our brother pointed out, I've read that scripture over and over again about the horses and carriages being taken away. Well, you know what that would do. this nation would be paralyzed immediately. And something drastic would have to happen for that to happen. Well, there's one source of energy that we all rely on. And every once in a while, we have to go without it for once in a while, and that's electricity. But that would just absolutely, if the enemy wanted to paralyze this nation, just to hit all our power plants, and they could just wipe us out. But I don't know that that's going to happen. But I am concerned. And the description is given: lion among sheep. I'm sure you've all watched these the shows of the animals and things like that, and seen the lions. Of course, they're looking for dinner. They aren't worried about who it's going to be or what it's going to be. And sometimes we all dread that. I just tense up and feel horrible about the way they attack their prey and everything. And I think, well, what am I talking about? I just had a hamburger, you know. That had to die, you know. So, you know, it's a part of our life, but they will tear apart, it says. There's things that, you know, that's too big a thing to even try to picture. But what else can we do? Can we say, well, I'm going to forget that, you know, let's just hide it and not even think about it? But that's not true. We have to face it. The change of our way of life could be so traumatic that we could be just devastated. And I'm not saying this to cause us to fear. Unless we become realistic enough to face it and prepare ourselves. Like I said, we have the means to prepare ourselves. But I don't know how it's going to come together. Now, like I said, the miracles can take place, and the preservation of the Lord's people is something that we all want to look forward to. We want to be on the right side when that happens. And is it going to happen? I believe it has to happen. The Lord is not going to leave the righteous people with the wicked people forever. He's going to separate them. And I just know that's going to happen. And it's important that we're on the right side when that happens. And I hate to think of that day, because it may separate families. You know, we don't know who's going to be on the one side or the other, but it could happen. But this is just for us to think and to prepare ourselves. Now I want to confess something else. This is nothing new to me. I imagine my brother can sit there and say the same thing himself. I've heard it all my life. I've heard these prophecies given or talked to, preached about, and taught all my life. You think I'm prepared? I really, you know, I just feel like we're coming up to it, and pretty soon I'm too tired to think about it anymore, you know. It's too horrible a thing to think about. But it's going to happen. There's going to be things happen that, and I'm not even going to try to put it together where I can just nail it all down and say, well, it's going to happen this way and this way and this and so forth, and I got it all figured out, and just when it's going to happen, all that. No. I'm going to have to exercise what I started out with, faith. I'm going to have to exercise faith. What about you? Every one of you will have to exercise faith. Faith in the Lord. We're not going to make it otherwise. And that seems so simple, But it is the truth. It's we're children. We're dependent upon our Heavenly Father to take us through and bring us victoriously over to the place of safety, wherever it is and whatever it is. Yeah, I believe in Zion, and I believe it'll be established, and I believe that there's only going to be the most righteous, holy people there. There won't be money. There won't be quarreling. There won't be contention. But it seems like way off. When you go out and face the world like it is, it's a long way off. But the Lord can take us there. And I hope that we will do as the scripture says, endure to the end, every one of us. Thank you.